Hey, it's Scott Petrick with another episode of the Brown Zone Zone Coverage Podcast. While the bye didn't solve everything for the Browns, Deshaun Watson's bruised right rotator cuff remains a problem, and he's expected to miss a second straight game. It's bad enough to be without your $230 million quarterback. It's way worse when the 5-0 49ers are headed to town. Here to discuss the difficult week in Berea is Dave Chudowski of Go, the WKYC Morning News. What's going on, Chud?
Scott, you pretty much just summed it up right there. Like, I'm Friday the 13th of all days, right? I mean, it just feels like doom, you know, and it's crazy. We talk about this all the time. You know, it feels like there's multiple seasons within a season, right, in the NFL. And just one week you feel on top of the world and one week you feel like you're at the bottom of the mountain. And that's what it feels like right now. I mean, you spend a whole bye thinking about a loss. Now your quarterback's not going to play. And you have, I think, the best team in the NFL right now coming into your building.
Yeah, they certainly are playing like that, right? I mean, you know, I saw them play the Steelers in week one, and they dominated. But that felt like a while ago, and the Steelers didn't play great. And then when you watch the Sunday night game, I'll give Channel 3 a plug, right, on Channel 3 on Sunday night.
That's right.
You know, the Cowboys are a good team, and the 49ers just destroyed them. So, you know, you have that as the backdrop leading into, you know, the Browns most likely not having Deshaun Watson, probably won't have Joe Bitonio, might not have David Njoku. I get why fans have a lot of angst heading into this week.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you go back to that Cowboys 49ers game, and those are the teams that we have slotted into the Super Bowl, right? You and
yeah.
I? And,
yep.
And obviously that, you know, that can change five times before now in the Super Bowl. But what I'm trying to make a point is that you're talking about probably the two best teams, unless you want to throw the Lions in there, in the NFC, right? And they just dismantled them. So,
The Eagles, you got to throw the Eagles in there. But yeah.
Oh, Eagles. Eagles before the Lions, no doubt. Well, you know what? You'd probably go Eagles number two right now.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
49ers,
so. Yeah.
Then Eagles. All right.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm forgetting about the Eagles. How dare I forget about them? I mean, in the Super Bowl last year, right? But it's just, all right, well, let's get right into it. I mean, the top story is Deshaun Watson, no question about it. And, you know, last time we chatted, you know, we didn't say it was a guarantee. No one did, but we were led to believe that Deshaun Watson would be ready for this game. And it looks like he's not going to be. What happened?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question, Chud. You know, it goes back to the Ravens week, and, you know, Watson did light throwing, but didn't really practice a ton, but expected to play. And, you know, said in the locker room on Friday, he expected to play. Told teammates and coaches he expected to play. So it was a big surprise when he warmed up Sunday before the game, threw about 10 passes and then shut it down and said he was not able to play. You know, Watson has not talked, you know, he just told a reporter last Friday, Mary Kay, that, you know, I expect before the Ravens game, I expect to play. I feel okay. Hasn't talked since then. I don't know if we're taping this Friday morning before practice. I don't expect him to talk today. I expect to talk to P.J. Walker, who's going to replace him. If Watson's in the locker room, try to talk to him, because I think it's important to get his version of this. It's his shoulder, right? He's the one making that decision ultimately, and especially before that Ravens game. So, you know, my thought is that he expected the shoulder to rebound faster than it did, and faster than it has. And he still feels he can't throw it like he needs to throw it. And Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, gave a impassioned kind of defense of Watson on Thursday, saying, I never questioned it. Never, never, ever questioned his toughness. He's as tough as nails, fierce competitor. You know, and he's played through stuff before, like serious injuries. So that's why it's a little confusing, let's say, what's going on now. You know, and I haven't seen him throw since Sunday before Sunday of the Ravens game, right? He hasn't been out of practice this week. Haven't seen him throw. I don't know how well he's throwing. If it's, you know, he's throwing at 60% and just doesn't think that's good enough. So I think that's where it all starts, Chud. And then, you know, I think the Browns listen to Watson and his optimism. I think they talk to their medical staff that says the shoulder's structurally sound. And yes, there's a rotator cuff bruise. but it's not a separation. It's not a torn anything. And then it's okay. It's up to the quarterback to say when he's ready to go, kind of thing. And I think that's what makes the situation difficult to assess, because everybody, including Watson, thought he was going to play 2 weeks ago. And it's 2 weeks later, you had to bye, and he apparently isn't going to play against the 49ers. And we don't know for sure if he's going to play next week against the Colts, right? So I guess that's where all the difficulty comes in.
One thing we know is if they say he's going to, we necessarily can't believe it. And that's the thing, is that I will not question his toughness. Hey, if you're hurt, you're hurt. I think what it comes down to, just in general terms, without breaking it down, as a fan sitting at home looking at this situation, I think the first thing that might come to mind is, hey, he's a little more hurt than they let on, or what we thought. That's kind of where I think a fan is looking at this, like, wait a minute. I mean, this is worse than, we were told, regardless of who's the one telling us that.
Yeah, that's completely fair. And obviously that's how it turned out to be, right? Because if it wasn't as serious as it turned out to be, or I'm kind of butchering the phrasing here, but if it was as recoverable as they believed to be, right? Then he would have played against the Ravens, and he certainly would be playing this week. So that is where the surprise comes in. I guess you could say where the communication breakdown comes in. I'm just not, I guess I'm not sure if that's completely a Browns thing, or if it's a Watson thing, or if it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, true. One thing I will give the Browns, though, is on this, is that, they're not going to try to force it down our throat that, their draft pick, their rookie, hey, just give them another shot, because they'll give them another shot down the line. But at least they're willing to say, hey, we need to move in a different direction this week.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's a pivotal decision, and I'm glad you brought that up. Obviously, we're going to talk about PJ Walker, but I'm surprised that that decision was made, Chud, because for the reasons you said, he's a fifth round pick. They committed to him in August as the number two quarterback when they traded Joshua Dobbs, because they thought he was the guy, that he could fill that role, that he could fill in if Deshaun Watson missed any time. And, unfortunately, from a Browns perspective, they are missing time, or he is missing time, and you're forced to go to your number two. So I know how bad DTR was, right? Anybody who watched that game does. He looked overmatched. He did not look ready to play in this league. So having said that, it makes perfect sense to go to PJ Walker, who has started seven games in this league, including five a year ago with the Panthers. But I wasn't sure the Browns would get to the same conclusion, right? I kind of felt like, eh. This is their guy. DTR is their guy. Maybe they give him another shot. Now, maybe the fact that it's the 49ers defense and it's so good, maybe that played a factor in the Browns' decision. Maybe the bye week did, because you had more time to get PJ Walker ready. But for whatever reason, they made the move that I wasn't sure they were going to. And I think it's the right one, because I think Walker gives them a much better chance to compete in this game.
I don't want to dive into it too much, but because we do it all the time, but I just do want to reset where are your emotions and how do you feel about the overall situation of now having Deshaun Watson as your quarterback and the decision they made? Because we have analyzed it on almost every podcast, and usually we both agree it could go either way. We're kind of 50-50 on it. So while right now I will back my point that if he is hurt and doesn't play, obviously your shot of getting to the playoffs and having a successful season is less, because I still think we've seen enough to prove that he could get your team to the playoffs with what we've seen. But obviously, with the money they spent, we're looking for more than just that. So what's your percentage right now on whether you think this guy can do what we expect him to do, or hoping he would do? Like basically what I'm saying is I was always 50-50 on it, and while I do think he can lead us to the playoffs and you need him out there, obviously, I am starting to waver towards the percentage of like maybe 60-40, 70-30, that this was not a good move.
Yeah, I mean, that's a deep question, Chud. It's a deep question for a Friday morning after a long week. From a let's just we're just talking football, right? From a football perspective, I understood the move. I always understood the move, and I think he's better than Baker. I think he'll always be better than Baker. Now that could be proved wrong too, right? Baker's not off to is off to a solid start in Tampa Bay, and is getting some good run down there. I think Watson's a better quarterback, and I understand why, from a football perspective, the Browns made that move. We saw the potential in that Tennessee game, and I think that adds to the frustration of fans is you finally saw Watson play like he's capable, like he did in Houston against the Titans. You know, they win 27-3. He had a really good game, completed 82% of his passes, right? Didn't, I don't think he turned the ball over. And then he doesn't play the next week, right? So he couldn't build on that momentum. You couldn't, the team couldn't get anything going, couldn't use that as any kind of stepping stone. So I think that makes it tough. I don't want, you know, it's only been a couple of weeks that happened. You know, he played against the Titans on September 24th, right? Today's October 13th. That's not that long ago. So I don't want to be too prisoner of the moment here. And I think that he can get back to approach the player he was in Houston. And I think that's good enough to take this team to the playoffs at least. But I will say the last 2 weeks, how they went down makes me question some things about, I'm not saying his future here. But you know, one of the things, one of his, the pluses in his category was the durability, right? He hit, the only games he'd missed in the NFL was when he tore his ACL as a rookie. And now he's going to, seems like he's going to miss at least two straight with a bruised shoulder or, you know, the bruised rotator cuff. So I put some of the responsibility, I'm not going to say blame, some of the responsibility for how the last 2 weeks have gone and how it's been handled on Watson. And I would think that that would make me, if I were the Browns, question, just question it. I'm not saying he's not the right guy, but I do think this is an important moment, at least right now while we're in the heart of it. I think this is an important moment. Maybe a month from now, if they haven't lost a game since and he's back, this will be just a blip. But when we're in the midst of it, it feels significant to some degree. If I'm hope I'm not hedging too much on it.
Well, what I no, that is a great answer, and I think you make a lot of great points there. And again, when you say, like I say 60-40, I think there's a 40% chance he definitely can. I just think that I'm moving away from 50-50. Are you still 50-50, or I, you don't have to get into a long explanation, just do you have a percentage? I'm going 60-40.
I guess if I go 55-45 against.
Okay, all right, so we're similar area. Bottom line is we're starting to lean one direction. But again, there's multiple seasons within a season. There's plenty of way to go. So how do you, with him not playing this week, let's just focus in on this Sunday. Do they have a chance to win without him and without the rookie not starting?
I would say there's a chance, right? There's always a chance. It's the NFL. Teams win crazy games. You see it all the time. It's not a good chance, right? I don't know what the spread is now. I know what it started at, and I know it's grown. You know, I think it was 6 or 8 the last time. I think it was 8 the last time I looked at
You want to know
the
what it is?
league. Yeah, I do.
I got 10.
Do you get 10? Oh my God. And it started at 2.5, I think.
Well, yeah, it was 2.5, and then on Monday I sent out a tweet that it was 3, and I got a ton of reaction from people saying they're jumping on the 49ers because it's gonna grow, and sure enough, it has. I mean, the app I'm looking at right now has 49ers minus 10, and the over under. How about this? Have you seen the over under? This
No.
is one of the lowest over unders you'll see. 35.5.
35 and a half. Oh my gosh. So that's like they're thinking it's going to be whatever, 25 to 10 or 20, you know, not even like 20,
Well,
right? I mean, if you.
it's the respect to me. It's the respect to the Browns defense that they can maybe hold the Niners down a little. But what it's telling you is they're not expecting the Browns to score much.
Exactly. Right. I mean, right, the number crunching is right. It's 30-5 or something, right? I mean, and then you got a sliding scale there, depending on how much the Browns can score. I mean, obviously, it would be a huge upset if they won with PJ Walker as a quarterback. Now, I do think the 49ers, if Watson were playing, are vulnerable. And I might have picked the Browns because they're coming off the big Sunday night game, like we talked about. They haven't lost a regular season game, and I think it's 15 in a row. They're dro you know, flying cross country. It's a 10 a.m. Pacific time start. Like all that feels like this could be a letdown game for the Niners. But the drop off from Deshaun Watson to PJ Walker seems to me big enough that none of that matters, right? At least doesn't matter when you're picking who's going to win the game. But I do think they're, you know, I don't think it's outlandish to come up with a recipe, right? The recipe is you score on defense, maybe twice, right? You keep it tight. You try to ball control. You run the ball a bunch. Hopefully the Browns can have more success running the ball than they've had the last 2 weeks. And it won't be easy because the 49ers have a really good run defense. They got a really good defense. We know how good that front four is, led by Nick Bosa. But you can control the, you know, control it and then hope your defense plays great. And there's that potential. Now, like, I think this defense is really good. I think the defense will bounce back from that second quarter against the Ravens. The question is, can they do it against a 49ers offense that appears to be clicking on all cylinders and that has a quarterback with the highest pass rating in the league, hasn't thrown a pick. Christian McCaffrey, who's leading the league in rushing, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, the fullback from Medina, right? Kyle Juszczyk. Like, they just have so many weapons. They're playing such a high level. I think this is a tough matchup for the Browns defense, but I do expect the defense to play well. And I think it'll give them a chance to hang around. I just can't pick the Browns to score enough points to say that they can pull off the upset. But I think there's a scenario. I just think it's an unlikely scenario.
Yeah, let's break down those players you just mentioned again. I mean, Brock Purdy is playing fantastic right now. You have Christian McCaffrey, best running back in football. I think that, you know, you could argue a couple other guys, but, you know, he had like eight touchdowns the other day. I'm making that up, but I think he had like three or four, right? Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, excuse me, Scott, one of the best wide receiver combos in the NFL. I mean, those guys are tough matchups, really tough matchups. And then you have Kittle, and it's just, you know, I think he had three touchdowns last week. They're just, this is a potent offense. I will say this, if the Browns defense doesn't tire, and I think we all assume they tired in that last game, right? If the offense can at least stay on the field enough that this defense doesn't tire, it will be a lot of fun, I think, to watch and find out how this Browns defense responds to that last game and how they can do against these guys.
Yeah, I agree. And I like how the Browns defensive players and Jim Schwartz, the coordinator, have been talking this week. I talked to JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker, and he said it was going to be a Frawley or an Ollie Frazier type matchup. I mentioned that to cornerback Martin Emerson Jr., and he said, yeah, it's going to be a brawl. He goes, we're number one, they're number one. Someone's leaving here, not number one. Now, it's not exactly number one, number ones. Like, you got to find the right stats for it to be number one, but it's close. Right, the Browns defense is number one in the league in yardage. They're number tied for second in points. The Niners offense is, I think, second in points. So it's, but the point is still there, right? They're two heavyweights, and they're going at it. And I do like the mindset of the Browns defense, and I like how Jim Schwartz talks about having to support the offense. And he said his biggest disappointment in that Ravens game was after that first interception by DTR when they returned it to the Ravens returned it to the 10-yard line. He said we should have held them to a field goal. And if we do, then it's a big momentum change. We have to support that rookie quarterback. And instead, they gave up a 10-yard touchdown to Lamar Jackson on the first play. And he said he thought that, not that the game was over there, but he thought that could have changed the game if the Browns defense had stiffened and only let up a field goal. I think they have the right mindset here. It's just going to be a matter of, like you said, is the offense on the field enough where the defense can rest a little bit? And can they handle those playmakers, right? And it only takes a couple of plays, right? A couple of big time Kyle Shanahan designs. And all of a sudden you get Deebo in the loose and it turns into a 65-yard touchdown and you can play great for the next 25 plays, right? So there's a lot to be concerned with that Niners offense, but I expect the Browns defense to play at a high level.
Do you remember enough the quote? I saw it because I saw Mary Kay and you both retweet the interview, just the clip of it from Grant Delpit this week. And when I saw what you guys wrote, I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna click on and listen to this because it intrigued me." Do you remember his exact comments? And did you walk away from that feeling like, you know, it was okay what he said? Was there any locker room bulletin board material there? Or do you think it was pretty innocent?
Oh yeah, I didn't think it went too far. I'm actually trying to call it up right now, Chud. Yeah, I didn't think it went that far.
Sorry to put you on the spot there.
No,
I just
you're fine. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it. They're riding their high horse right now, so that's probably the best time to get them. That's the tail end of their quote. He's talking about how great they got to come see us at the end of the day. They're coming to our house, man. And I said before, they're a great team right now. Quarterback's probably playing the best in the league, and the scheme fits him. They have a great defense. They're riding their high horse right now, so that's probably the best time to get them. And I don't think that's crazy. I'm sure if you see it in San Francisco, maybe it is a little motivating factor, right? Hey, let's not let your guard down if you're them. But I didn't think he said it in some kind of crazy way. I think it's like, yeah, they're playing great, but hey, maybe we catch them on a bad day. Maybe we knock them off that high horse. Like I didn't think it was anything crazy, but I did think it spoke to that confidence like you were talking about.
I felt like, I guess maybe my point is that sometimes we see, and this isn't to say that you guys did this, but it was enough that it made me click on to watch, right? But what I guess what it shows you is sometimes you could read a quote, but when you listen to it, it's a little different than if you read it. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, and you can tell in a guy's eyes or his tone, right? There's plenty of times like that where even in when I listen to a guy live, I go, "Oh, he was really good." And then you read the quotes and you're like, "It wasn't that good." And I think right, and I think part of it might be facial expression, energy in the quotes, like this guy had a lot of fervor behind it, and you read it, it's like, "Well, that's not any good," from a newspaper online standpoint.
Did you see, this is totally way off subject, but did you see Steve Smith talking about Jerry Jeudy
I
last
did.
night?
That was
Oh my God.
crazy.
Yeah, if you guys, we're not going to talk about it, but just everyone listening right now, go on to Twitter or social media and Google that. Steve Smith talking about Jerry Jeudy. Oh my gosh. It was like
Yeah.
a 2.5 minute clip. It was definitely worth the watch. There's been a lot of that lately on social media, just things that I've been like, wow, this guy said that, or, it's been. There's been some wow moments out there, but yeah, that was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys running their mouth. And Steve Smith, I think, always did that, but it was
Yeah,
interesting how it
always.
played. It was so interesting how that played out. I think it was NFL Network tweeting out some of that.
Yeah, right. Just some quick hitters here because we're gonna have to go soon. Batonio, it's looking like that streak's gonna come to an end. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they rule him out today. Like I said, we're taping this in the morning. They practice, then they announce, questionable, doubtful, out. Not a good sign. He hasn't been on the field. Not a good sign. Mary Kay had that he left the building on crutches during the bye week. Not a good sign that he didn't talk to us in his normal Thursday because he's the best guy to talk to and never doesn't talk. But, I think he wouldn't have been able to say, yeah, I'm going to play for sure. So, maybe they're holding out hope that he can get there for Sunday. I know it means a lot to him to play. But he hasn't missed a game since the beginning of 2017, since 2017 started. And it certainly looks like he might miss this one.
How's the running back situation look right now?
Yeah, I mean, Ford's fine. He had a little bit of a knee, but he practiced fully yesterday. I think you're going to see more Kareem Hunt coming out of the bye. Kind of a two-horse platoon. We talked about last week that Andrew Berry mentioned the word platoon. I just think now Kareem will have his feet under him after not being in a training camp. And I think he adds a dimension, not that Ford's not strong, because that is one of his strengths is a strength. But Kareem just runs with energy, runs with a force, and he can throw in the ball out of the backfield. I think he's going to have a bigger impact than he did in those first two games when he only had 29 snaps.
Sure. All right. I'm trying to think, anything else that we need to hit on here before we get to predictions?
Just it would be Michael Dunn instead of Joe Batonio, which Dunn's a solid player, but obviously it's a drop off going from an all pro. David Njoku hadn't practiced Wednesday and Thursday or Monday when they
Oh,
came out of the
yeah.
bye. He's got those burns on his face and arm. I think it's just I don't think it's a pain tolerance thing. I think it's if his face can handle the helmet and the helmet gets pulled down, it rubs on your skin. I think he probably had some work done to try to help the healing of the face. Can it handle wearing the helmet? And I don't know if it can. I don't know if they'll rule him out today or not. His teammates were really impressed by his courageousness playing against the Ravens 2 days after that accident. So he's something to keep an eye on. And it's just all of a sudden these injuries tend to be adding up.
I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to bring that up and I forgot. So I'm glad you did. I have to say that again, I go back to what I said at the beginning of this. It's tough to question a guy. So I don't want to question Deshaun Watson, right? I mean, especially if you can't throw, you can't throw. I mean, listen, obviously, I mean, if you write for a living and you break your hand and you can't write, you can't write. I mean, I get it, right? But at the same point, I will admit that there was a point this week where when I saw those burns on his face, and then I thought about him playing right after that, and then you think of Joe Thomas and never missing a snap, and you think of all this. I mean, I have to believe there are other Browns fans out there that thought, man, Njoku played with that after suffering that, but Watson can't get out there and at least try to give it a go. I mean, I think that has to be human emotion to think that.
I completely agree with that. I don't know if it's fair, and you said that. You said as much. And it's hard to get inside a guy's body, right? But I understand that from a fan's perspective, going apples and oranges, like, look at this comparison. Now, the reality is it might be apples and oranges, but I think it says a lot about David Njoku, right? I think it can be a separate conversation. Just Njoku, his determination to play was remarkable that game. It just is. I mean, I walked by him in the locker room after the game, all of it. It's remarkable for him to be out there, and it mean it, you know, it just it means so much to him, and he thinks it's his responsibility to be out there.
Yeah, and to put this to bed and rest, another thing I just thought of too is someone told me, if Watson would have just gone out and taken three snaps at the beginning of the game and just tried to, give it a go, maybe that would have changed the dimension of how everyone felt about this. And I'm not saying this person's right, but you know what I mean? Like, we always talk about that. This guy gets us. This guy's Cleveland. This guy's tough. This guy, is this, this, and this. I guess what I'm saying is, all right, so maybe he couldn't throw the deep ball. Could have he thrown a short pass, or could have he handed off a couple times? Could have he just started that game and just see where it would have taken him? There's a lot of people that think that, Scott.
Yeah, Chad, I do think that's fair. And so much of it is what we see with our own eyes, right? And I watched, I think every throw he made leading up to that Ravens game, right? He didn't throw Wednesday, he threw Thursday and Friday just a little bit. Never once, and he threw Sunday morning. Never once did he, when I was watching, did he let it rip, right? Now maybe he did after the media leaves practice. He certainly did not 3 hours before kickoff on that Sunday. I think if I were the Browns, I would have liked to seen him try. Now, maybe he just couldn't, right? Maybe if you can only throw 10 yards and it hurts, or you can't move your shoulder like you need to, then what good does it try to throw it as hard as you can for 40 yards, right? Like, I get the reality there, but I think if I were the Browns, I'd be like, hey, can you let it rip once to see if, like, you can do it? And if you can live like that, if you can handle it and come back and throw the next ball. So I get that thought process. I think there is an argument to be made if is his 60% better than PJ Walker's 100%. And that's an interesting argument. And again, that's up to the quarterback, and people are different, right? It's across athletics, right? People are different. You see a pitcher go out there not 100%. You see a batter, right, fight through something and he's struggling. You go, oh, man, maybe he should have shut it down, right? I mean, how many times did people say Baker should have shut it down? And I thought Baker was doing the right thing. I thought the team was doing the right thing. But we had a similar discussion there, right? So it's such a complex argument that it's tough, and it gets tougher when you don't get to see the quarterback try to do what he needs to do, and the quarterback doesn't talk. It's hard to get the full picture.
Man, that's a great point. Really is. All right, ready for prediction? All right, so let's see. We both got it wrong last time. Probably should have switched the pick, but needless to say, we didn't. Hindsight's 2020, blah blah blah. I'm 3-1, you're 2-2. You want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
All right.
We talked about a lot of this. I think the defense is going to play good, play well. I think it gives them a chance. I went back and watched two of PJ Walker's starts in Carolina last year. I watched them last night. And he does not look like a guy that is too much for, right? And I think that was DTR certainly looked like it was too much for him in that first start, right? Overmatched, overwhelmed. I don't think Walker did not look like that in his two starts. In fact, he beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So, and Carolina ran the ball a bunch with him. They ran RPOs, which the Browns have in their game. They do the zone read looks. Like there's a lot of same stuff that he can do skill set wise, right? He's not as good, he's not as big, he's less than 6 feet tall. Like I think he can do some of that. He can throw quick hitters. And the guy's got a rocket. And I know he's been with the team for a while, but I don't get to see him throw a lot, right? We see him early in practice. I'm not focused on the practice squad quarterback. But you want like he wound up if people remember, it was a crazy game. They lost to Atlanta in overtime. And he threw like a 60-yard touchdown, almost a Hail Mary type thing, but it wasn't a full-on Hail Mary. On the move, rolling left, and he threw it like 68 yards in the air. And DJ Moore catches it, and then they get a penalty for a helmet celebration, and then they miss the extra point that would have won the game, and it goes to overtime. My point being, he's got a big arm. So, like, he's got a chance to stretch the field. I think you could do a lot of stuff with PJ Walker, and I think he's going to give them a chance to at least hang around. But I cannot go into this game and pick the Browns to beat arguably the best team in the league. So I'm going to take Niners 20, Browns 17.
Oh, okay. So you're going to go a little bit over with the 37 points.
Yeah,
You got this
I didn't
being.
know the over-under's that low when I made that pick, but yeah,
Yeah,
when
no,
I wrote it out last night.
you're right there. Yeah. So you have the Browns finding a way to score 17 points. Okay. And all right, interesting.
I mean, there could be a
So I'm
Myles
gonna.
Garrett. Like, I think the defense could score this week. We talked about they haven't turned the ball. They haven't gotten many takeaways. It's only three takeaways this year. Like, I feel like they might be due for something. Like, right? Brock Purdy hasn't thrown a pick all year. Like, you get a tip ball, interception return. Like, I could see something fluky happening that way.
Yeah. This tells me 2017. This tells me that if Watson was playing, you would have picked the Browns.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah. Well, that the thing is, most teams, it's tough to go undefeated, right? You got to lose at some point. And someone came up to me at work on Monday and said they have no shot. This is before we knew Watson wasn't playing, right? Or whatever. And yeah, I think that is the first thing that you think about. Like, after they destroy Dallas, you think they don't have a shot. And I remember telling the person at work, I go, you know what? The way the NFL is, man, I mean, it's a Sunday night. You lose a little. It's not like Monday Night Football, but still, it's a shorter week. You have to travel. You got to lose at some point. The Browns defense could come up big. Like, I actually was making a case that the Browns could beat them. And that's when I thought Watson might play.
Right.
But
Yeah.
without Watson, how can you predict it? I mean, listen, anything can happen in the NFL. We know that, but you can't predict it right now. And when you said 20, I laughed because that's the exact score I have with the Niners. But I'm gonna go 20-10,
Okay.
and just I it's I'm trying to envision like you're getting to 17 with envisioning a defensive touchdown. I mean, that's hard to do. I mean, I know it happens, but you can't really rely on that. So that's the separation between me and you on the score is I'm not going to assume there's a defensive touchdown. I'm going to go 20 to 10. And, maybe in the next few days we change our mind, but I think right now that's where I lean. So I'm going to go Niners 20, Browns 10.
It makes sense. Yeah, I'm not guaranteeing that defensive touchdown, but I just think it could happen. And you can figure out a way to score 17. You get a return, right? Something. I just feel it's
Not
gonna,
against
right?
they
I
didn't
know, right?
against the
A
Ravens.
trick. I know,
They
I know, I
didn't.
know. I just feel like it's gonna be closer. And we got to go here. I got to go watch practice. But I did want to say this, and I don't know if we talked. I can't remember if we touched on this last week or not. The Browns are so bad after the bye last week, last year. Remember, they went down to Miami and got destroyed. I think this is a little bit of a referendum on the coaching staff. Not, I'm not saying something crazy is going to happen, but I think it's important that given the bye week, given all the distractions, all the uncertainty with the quarterback situation, it's important for the Browns to put their best foot forward when they had that extra week to prepare, figure out how to run the ball better. Even though it's the 49ers, I think it's important that the Browns look much better than they did against the Ravens and put up a fight.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, hey, go get to practice. Don't pull a hammy, all right?
Yeah, all right. I appreciate it, Chud. Thank you, Chud, as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.